Hello, and welcome to this episode of Criminal Mischief, the Art and Science of Crime Fiction. I'm D.P. Lyle. Today I want to talk a little bit about character, specifically one of my characters. My Jake Longley series consists of four books, Deep Six, A-List, Sunshine State, and now Rigged, the fourth in the series that was just released 1 week ago. Jake is the protagonist of this story. All these stories, and he's an ex-professional baseball player. He pitched for the Texas Rangers. He had a big fastball. Then he injured his shoulder, and his career ended, so he bought a bar restaurant called Captain Rocky's down on the sand in Gulf Shores, Alabama, which is where he was from. And Jake's ambition is to, well, do nothing. You know, run his bar, hang out on the beach, chase bikinis. Basically, Jake is a slacker. And so we learn that we like Jake. He's a nice guy. Everybody likes him. He's tall. He's good looking. He's got a gift of gab. He's funny. And it's the humor that drives these stories. Jake is quirky the way he sees the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you talk about characters, how do we learn about characters? We as readers, when we walk into a story, how do we learn who the character is and if we like them and if we want to spend time with them and who they are and what they're about, what makes them tick, and what drives the story? Well, we learn by what they do, what they say, what they think. That's pretty obvious. But we also learn about them from the company they keep. Who are the characters around them? And what do they do, say, and think about the protagonist and about each other and about the world and about the story? So you have this milieu of characters that revolve around the protagonist, but all of them tell you who the protagonist is and how the story flows. Now, in the Jake series, there's really kind of an ensemble cast. There's Jake, there's his father Ray, there's his girlfriend Nicole, and of course there's his best friend Tommy, who is known as Pancake, Tommy Jeffers, but everybody calls him Pancake from Pancake Blocks because he was a big offensive lineman. So Ray, let's start with Ray. Ray is his father. Ray is a private investigator who owns one of the best private investigator firms along the Gulf Coast, and Ray is no nonsense. Ray has a military background. He was in some crazy form of the black ops world. Nobody really knows what Ray did, but Ray's no nonsense. And so he and Jake butt heads all the time because Ray wants Jake to grow up, be an adult, and work for him. Well, Jake's having none of that. He's not interested in being like Ray. He doesn't want to be all that focused and work all that hard. Like I said, he just wants to kick back, drink beer, and enjoy his bar restaurant on the Gulf. So let's get a feel for this relationship. This is from the book Sunshine State, which is the third in the series. Here's the deal. Ray thinks I'm a wimp. Has for years. The best I can remember, it began around the time I left Major League Baseball. For several years, I pitched for the Texas Rangers. Could really bring the heat. 100 miles an hour, zip, pop, loved that sound. Loved that the catcher would often shake his hand after snagging one of my fastballs. That was me, Jake Longley, baseball stud. Everybody said so, even the ESPN folks. Ray, not so much. He never actually used the word wimp. Pussy. That's the one he preferred, 4 weeks ago being his most recent assessment. So you can see Ray and Jake have issues with each other. Jake also has an ex-wife who he affectionately calls Tammy the Insane, and that's not far from the truth. Jake and Tammy and Nicole, who we'll get to in a minute, were all introduced in the first two chapters of Deep Six, the very first book. I should say, when I started this book, I really only had the first couple of scenes in mind, and including this one. I kind of had a vague idea of who Jake was, but I hadn't really worked out who he was, and I hadn't really worked out who all the other characters were. I hadn't even worked out who was going to die and who the bad guys were in the story. I just had these couple of scenes, and I just started writing. And now I write all my books that way because it just flowed. It made sense. So this is the first introduction of Jake and also Tammy the Insane. And this is from Deep Six, and this is the opening. It was precisely 12:12 a.m. when the window shattered. A crack, crunch, and an eardrum concussing pop, and a spray of glass shards. It didn't explode by itself, mind you, but rather courtesy of a cavity-backed perimeter-weighted $200 5-iron, a Callaway. I recognized it because it was mine, or at least it had been. I knew the exact time because the flying glass yanked me from sleep, my forward-slumped head aligned squarely with the dashboard clock. Took a couple of seconds to gain any sort of perspective on what had happened. Of course, sleep wasn't part of the job. Watching the house two doors down and across the street was. In my defense, nothing had moved in the house, or even along the street that snaked through the high-dollar neighborhood, for at least a couple of hours. But sitting in the dark, behind the wheel of my car, boredom did what boredom does. Knocking back the better portion of a bottle of Knob Creek hadn't helped either. Stakeouts were mind-numbing, and a little more numbing of the mind couldn't be all bad, right? Jake, what the hell are you doing? The reason for the glass explosion screeched through the jagged hole. This wasn't just any window. It was vintage, the reason it shattered rather than simply spiderwebbing. The original passenger window of my otherwise spotless 1965 Mustang. Burgundy, with black pony interior, now littered with glass shards. Going to be a bitch to find a replacement. Speaking of bitches, I recognized the grating voice even before I looked up into the face of my ex. Tammy's the name, crazy's the game. I'd lost 4 good years listening to it, mostly whining and complaining, sometimes, like now, in a full-on rage. She had a knack for anger, seemed to need it to get through the day. She gripped the 5-iron with both hands, knuckles paled, cocked up above her shoulder, ready to smash something else. If history offered any lesson, it was that she might graduate from the side window to the windshield and so on until she got to me. Tammy didn't have brakes, or a reverse. Cute, according to everyone, except maybe me, she was a beach blonde with bright blue eyes, a magic smile, and a perfect nose. Some plastic surgeons are gifted. Expensive, but gifted, I knew. I'd paid for the nose. But cute Tammy had a short fuse. She could go from 0 to C4 in a nanosecond, like now. Well, this scene continues, and then in the next scene, we get to meet Nicole Jameson, who turns out to be Jake's love interest for the rest of the series. Jake is what you'd call a bikini chaser and a womanizer. Jake's idea of a long-term relationship was about 3 weeks. He was just a guy going through life and having fun. Nicole changes all of that, and as the series moves forward, they become an item, as it were. So this is also from Deep Six. I'll say that the cops were called, an officer came out and talked to he and Tammy, what the hell are you guys doing, da-da-da-da, and it finally gets settled, and Jake is told, vacate the premises, and, you know, Tammy, you go back in your house. So, the beginning of the next chapter. After the ever-pleasant Tammy and the all-business officer Blake Cooper vacated the premises, I surveyed the damage to my car. The shattered windows were essentially irreplaceable. Seems Ford doesn't make windows for 50-year-old cars. The nerve of them. I began knocking away the toothy window remnants from the frames and picking up the larger pieces from the seats, dropping them on the floorboard. The floor mats were expendable. The pony interior, not. As if to prove that any situation could go from bad to worse, the wind kicked up, dragging with it the smell of rain. Out over the gulf, a bank of dark clouds, tops silvered by the moonlight, innards flashing bright with white with lightning, marched toward shore. Just great. 20 miles from home, no right side windows, didn't bode well for my pony interior. Headlights flashed over me, and I looked up the street. Now what? Did Cooper have more to say? Maybe he called it in and his boss gave him the green light to haul my ass downtown, to tweak Ray if nothing else. I raised one hand to shield my eyes from the headlamp glare. The car, a shiny new red SL Mercedes, rolled to a stop. The deeply tinted window slid down, revealing a young woman. Her straight blonde hair hung like silk curtains to her shoulders and framed a face that could grace the cover of Vogue. Definitely not what I expected. "That was interesting," she said. "You saw that, huh?" She laughed, soft, almost musical. Hard to miss a woman beating the hell out of a classic Mustang with a golf club. I looked back up the street from where she had come. "You live around here, I take it." She brushed a wayward strand of hair from her face. Just back around the bend. "You on a beer run or something?" Another soft laugh. "Heading out to see a friend. A little late, isn't it? He's a bartender. Doesn't close up until 1. But he's not nearly as interesting as this. Bet he'd be happy to hear that." She shrugged. "He'd get over it." I reeled in the response that a woman as beautiful as her probably didn't have to worry too much about pissing him off. No one would put her on the road for being late. Instead, I smiled. "So what was that about?" she asked. "My ex. She's insane." "Obviously. I'm Jake. Nicole." She extended a hand out the window and I shook it. Soft skin, firm grip. The first drops of rain peppered my face. "You better get that beauty undercover." "My thoughts exactly. Problem is, cover is about 20 miles away." She hesitated, examining me as if trying to decide something. "Or just up the road. My place. You can stick it in the garage until this blows over." "What about your friend? Sean the bartender? Like I said, this is much more interesting." She smiled. Perfect teeth, perfect smile, just perfect. Down boy. "Glad I could brighten your evening," I said. "A girl's got to find fun where she can." "You have an odd definition of fun. I hear that a lot." So we get a taste for Nicole and her relationship with Jake. Now, Jake also has a best friend. His name is Tommy Pancake Jeffers. He's huge. He's about 6'5", goes about 270, 280, depending. He has red hair that's kind of unruly. And his ability to eat is legendary. He can literally demolish a menu. And people thought that maybe his nickname came because he could also demolish a stack of pancakes, which of course he could. But he was also, like I said, an offensive lineman. He was famous for his pancake blocks. Pancake works for Ray, which kind of creates a dynamic there where Jake's best friend since childhood actually works for his father, who Jake refuses to work for, even though he got roped into this stakeout that I just read about. And that's Jake's story. He's always getting dragged into Ray's world, kicking and screaming. But anyway, so he's got Pancake. And Pancake is smart. He has great computer skills. He's a great PI. He's just a smart guy, even though when you first met him, you might not know that. But also, he can destroy a room. I mean, he is huge, he is massive, and he does not take no well. So from A-List, which is the second Jake Longley story, they're trying to track down drug dealers and get some information, and this story is set in New Orleans. And so here we go. Jimmy Walker, a.k.a. Ragman, was a piece of work. A piece of something, anyway. The alley he did business from, as Doucette had said, was wedged between the fire station and an industrial-looking building that had seen better days. The sidewalk was veined with cracks and the alley narrow and littered with refuse. As we reached the alley entrance, we saw him, thin, black, baggy pants, a New Orleans Saints jersey, three sizes too large, almost reaching his knees, cigarette hanging from his lips, slouching against the building. He looked up from the phone he was working with his thumbs and came off the wall, moving toward us. He didn't seem alarmed. Probably thought we were customers. "Good day, gentlemen," he said, smiling. A true salesman. Probably would do well with aluminum siding, or as a midway barker. We introduced ourselves, Ray saying we were PIs and needed to ask a few questions, to which Ragman said, "I don't got to talk to you." His head swiveled up and down the street, like he didn't want to be seen talking to us. "No, you don't," I said, "but we'd appreciate it." "Go appreciate something else," he said. "It's about your business," Ray said. "I ain't got no business." Another glance up the street. "I suggest you move along. Get out of my face. Might not be healthy for you white boys to hang around here. Know what I'm saying?" I love watching Pancake work. It's a true work of art. Mostly, he's a gentle giant, wouldn't hurt anyone, even go out of his way to avoid trouble. Then there were times he did stuff that made you stare in disbelief, even if you'd seen it before. This time, he simply grabbed Ragman's arm and tossed him into the alley. Just like that. Like a kid having a tantrum and tossing a doll across a room. Ragman rolled and bounced a couple of times, but to his credit, quickly scrambled to his feet. Pancake was on him. He poked his chest with a finger. "No, I don't know what you're saying." "Hey, dude, you can't do that. I'm just getting started." Pancake palmed his chest, pressing him against the wall. So you can see you do not want to mess with Pancake. So this story, all these stories are comedic. They deal with crime. Obviously, there's murders. There's all kinds of mayhem that goes on in the stories. Each one of them has its own beginning, middle, and end, as it were. But through all of this is this ensemble cast of Jake and Nicole and Pancake and Ray. And, of course, Tammy. She figures into every story because even though they were long divorced, and actually Tammy is married to the attorney that handled the divorce, he's very wealthy, and Walter lives in a very nice mansion there, which Jake had ended up parking in front of in that first scene, because the house he was watching was two doors down. This whole ensemble cast is in every story, obviously, and their dynamic, the way they work together and the way they kind of poke fun at each other, is where the humor comes from. It's what I call situational comedies, because it comes out of the situation, or sitcoms. You know, I grew up with that, you know, with Lucy and Gleason and all those people, and what they were is Burns and Allen. I mean, fantastic. The humor in all of those things, the origin of television, really, the humor in all those things is the dynamic between the characters and the situations that they're put in. More modern would be like Big Bang Theory and Friends. It's the dynamic among the characters that create the humor. And even though the story itself, the murders and all the things and the bad guys are dark, there's a thick layer of humor over all of it, and it has to do with these characters, and particularly Jake and how he sees the world. So when you're writing your stories, remember, it's not just a bunch of characters sitting around. They have a dynamic with each other, and that dynamic, obviously, most people concentrate on the protagonist and the antagonist, and that is the major driving force of most, especially crime fiction stories, is the bad guy's got his agenda, his wants, his needs, his fears, and he's trying to accomplish something. And of course, the protagonist has wants and needs and fears and wants to accomplish something. And the two things that they want to accomplish are diametrically opposed. That's what makes a thriller. One of the things I like about all of this, these characters and the dynamic in the Jake Longley series, is the relationship of Jake and Nicole. Nicole is drop dead gorgeous. She's, you know, supermodel-esque, all of that stuff, but she's tough as nails. She takes Krav Maga classes. She can knock your eyes out. She's smart. She's clever. She comes up with ideas all the time. Jake, as she says, has his moments too. He comes up with some pretty clever stuff, but his is almost by accident. I often get asked, how did you come up with this dynamic between these two characters? Because they are lovers and friends and all of that stuff, but they're also jousting with each other a lot. And I always say, go watch Tracy and Hepburn movies. Start with Adam's Rib. But Tracy and Hepburn had this on-screen dynamic, and of course off-screen dynamic too, that they were equals. One was not smarter or more clever than the other. They were equals. And so they jousted with each other all the time. Sam and Diane from Cheers had a similar dynamic. And there's lots of stories like that out there. But to me, it always came back to Tracy and Hepburn. And it's interesting that I was on the third book Sunshine State before I even realized that that's where this dynamic came from. It just seemed to fit for me. It just seemed I like the way these characters are together. You know, they love each other. They care about each other. You know, they have sex all the time. But they're not afraid of poking each other with sharp sticks. And particularly Nicole pointing out Jake's foibles. And I think that's where the fun comes from. So, I welcome you to drop in on this series. You know, start at the beginning, you know, with Deep Six. But you can actually, all the stories stand alone. But enter the world and come and meet, you know, Jake and Nicole and Ray and Pancake and of course, Tammy the Insane. And I hope that if you do, you will enjoy the series and follow along with the next ones. I'm working on the next one right now. In fact, I've finished the first rewrite on it. It's right now called The OC, and it's going to take place out here in Orange County, California. I'm going to get Jake and crew to end up out here, and they're going to be like fish out of water then, because the Gulf Coast of Alabama and the OC and the Orange County, California are two entirely different worlds. So hopefully that one's going to work out well too. So when you develop your characters, remember you're not just developing your protagonist, you're developing all the characters around them. And, of course, you're developing the antagonist. That's a given. But the dynamic, the creation of these characters, and how they relate to one another, think about each other, talk about each other, their interactions with each other, all of these things are critically important to good storytelling. So that's who the heck Jake Longley is. So until next time, this has been DP Lyle, and I'll see you on the next episode of Criminal Mischief.